In training the mind, as we sit in meditation like this, sila, moral conduct, is already present. We are making the effort to collect mindfulness and keep it with a single object. Some people are skilled at watching the breath. They can establish awareness on the breath, and peacefulness arises. But at times we can see that the mind is very distracted. When we try to know the in-breath and the out-breath, mindfulness may know the breath only briefly. Then the mind runs away to think about other things. We lose track of it, and by the time we become aware again, a long time has already passed. Sometimes the mind is so distracted that we cannot keep it under control. So how can we use contemplation of the body? This is included within the practice of recollection, the four satipatthanas, contemplation of the body, feelings, mind, and Dhamma objects. Some practitioners think that those who contemplate the body have little wisdom, while those who watch the mind have much wisdom. Therefore, they want to practice only by watching the mind. This can also be done. We can watch the mind and teach the mind so that it knows mental objects as they are. In this way, the mind develops mindfulness and wisdom. The various sense objects that arise can cause the mind to proliferate, giving rise to greed, anger, and delusion. Therefore, we must keep observing the mind and taking good care of it. When we sit in meditation, we bring mindfulness to contemplate this body of ours. We reflect that when the body has stopped breathing, before long it changes according to its nature. What we possess and what we take to be ourselves will come to an end. We contemplate in this way. This is called a Subha Kamatana, meditation on the unattractive nature of the body. We contemplate the body when it has stopped breathing. It is just like a log or a piece of firewood. We keep teaching the mind. At first, we may not see the image clearly. It may simply be a perception, sanya, with the perception of the unattractive, asubha sanya, as the object. We keep contemplating in this way, again and again, until we see the body breaking apart, the bones scattered around, and no self to be found. The distraction becomes less, and then we begin to think, and so we contemplate again. We reflect that this body lies in the middle of a charnel ground or in the forest. After it has stopped breathing, it becomes stiff, like a log or a piece of firewood. Bacteria decompose the body, giving off an unpleasant smell. It's like this. Then the body becomes a dwelling place and food for many maggots. When we contemplate in this way, the mind may become peaceful, open, clear, and light. We will then be able to see the breath more clearly and establish awareness of the in-breath and the out-breath well. This is meditation. If we become skilled in this practice, we may be able to enter samadhi, concentration, even up to the first jhana. For example, Venerable Yasa, who later became an arahant, practiced a Subha Kamatana. He contemplated a corpse being cremated, with fat flowing out. He used a pointed stick to pierce the belly of the corpse. There was much fat, so it did not burn easily, and he saw the fat flowing out. He was able to remember the nimitta, the meditation image, vividly, and entered the first jhana. This indicates that his mind had reached upajara samadhi, access concentration, or perhaps he had already attained jhana previously. While doing this work and contemplating the unclaimed corpse, his mind may have withdrawn from samadhi. Then, through a Subha Kamatana, he was able to enter samadhi again. Or we can contemplate Kayagata Sati, mindfulness immersed in the body. Hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth and skin. Or we can contemplate this body as a skeleton. These methods can also be used. Within these five parts, hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth and skin, there are many things that are not clean. Contemplating any one of these meditation objects can make the mind peaceful. There's no need to doubt. If we keep doubting, thinking that this meditation subject does not make the mind peaceful, that one doesn't make the mind peaceful, and another one doesn't make the mind peaceful, we become confused. We keep changing back and forth, and there will be little result. We should understand that Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, is the crown of meditation subjects. When we watch the breath and the mind becomes peaceful, we can then use that peacefulness to contemplate the body. We see the body as unattractive, impermanent, and not self. Or we may observe the in-breath arising and remaining, and the out-breath ceasing. We see arising and ceasing with impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and not self as the object of contemplation. This is vipassana. Samatha and vipassana go together, tranquility meditation and insight meditation. There is no need to worry that watching the breath or contemplating the body is only samatha kamatana, and then ask how vipassana can arise. When the mind is peaceful and firmly established, vipassana becomes clearer. Some monks and lay people contemplate, this body is impermanent. It is not me. It is not mine. This can also be done. But if samadhi is not firmly established, wisdom will be limited. Samadhi and wisdom depend on each other. They come together within the Noble Eightfold Path, sila, samadhi, and panya, virtue, concentration, and wisdom. Through practice, knowledge gradually develops. When these qualities are complete, one may attain the level of a sotapanna, a stream enterer, as Venerable Yasa did. Yasa was the son of a wealthy merchant in the city of Varanasi. His barami, his spiritual accumulations, were complete. 54 of Yasa's friends also later went forth. The first four who lived in Varanasi heard the news that Venerable Yasa had gone forth and received ordination. They thought, there must be something good in this holy life for our friend, who was so wealthy, to go forth in this way. These four were also sons of wealthy merchants. They followed Yasa and came to learn the Dhamma from the Sammasambuddha, the perfectly self-awakened Buddha. Having heard the Dhamma, they became sotapannas and later arahants. Another 50 friends who lived in other cities also heard the news. The news traveled far and quickly. Even in the Buddha's time, people traveled and traded with one another. These friends came from distant cities to listen to the Buddha's Dhamma. In the end, they too attained arahantship. Altogether, there were 60 arahants spending the rains retreat at Isipatana Deer Park. These were people whose barami had already become complete. Therefore, as we practice now, don't become discouraged and don't retreat. First, we must patiently endure. Everything requires patience. We must have perseverance if we are to reach the goal we have set our hearts upon. Sometimes we become discouraged and feel that our perseverance has weakened. At such times, reflect on the Sammasambuddha, who made great effort, made sacrifices, and developed the baramis. Whether it was sila barami, the perfection of virtue, kanti barami, the perfection of patience, or Wirya Bharami, the perfection of energy and perseverance. The Buddha developed these greatly. So reflect on the Buddha. He maintained, practiced, and developed these Bharamis, even to the point of sacrificing his life. When we recollect and contemplate this, faith arises, patience arises, and we are able to make persistent effort. But do not expect results too quickly. Even when planting a tree, it takes time before the tree gradually grows. Its trunk grows, then branches and twigs develop. It takes time before it bears flowers and fruit. If it is a perennial tree, it takes even longer. We may not have practiced for long, yet we want to know and see. We want to understand the Dhamma, see the Dhamma, and perhaps become a Sotapanna. But we do not reflect on whether we are expecting this too quickly. It took time for us to grow up. It also took a long time to complete our education. Therefore, once we have faith in the practice, we should simply keep making the effort. One day, samadhi may become firmly established. The heart becomes peaceful, fulfilled, and happy. Then we will understand the way of practice. This is the essential point. We will be able to see our own mind and understand why it suffers. Ajahn Chah taught that suffering comes from craving. We suffer because we become pleased and displeased in response to sense objects and mental objects. We will see this directly. But in the beginning, when a sense object comes, we are already too late. The sense object has already entered the heart. Ajahn Chah taught that we must teach the mind about what we are experiencing. To contemplate the mind means that when anger arises, we know that anger has arisen. When greed arises, we know that greed has arisen. When delusion arises, we know that delusion has arisen. Then we teach the mind. First, have forbearance. Do not expect it to cease immediately. When there is a cause, an experience arises. When its causes and conditions are exhausted, it ceases. We teach the mind in this way. Where the mind does not know yet, we allow it to gain understanding. Today we might call this reminding the mind or teaching the mind. We see that the mind is about to be conditioned and fabricated by a sense object. The mind is one thing, the sense object is another. When there is mindfulness and wisdom, we can separate the mind from the sense object. The sense object is merely a sense object. It is like oil and water. They don't mix. They remain separate. In the same way, we can separate them and know them according to their nature. Whatever sense object arises, first we need forbearance. First, be patient and do not act according to desire. The Buddha's teachings, traditionally said to number 84,000 Dhamma aggregates, they teach about rupa, material form, and nama, mental phenomena. They are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and not self, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. We recite important suttas and contemplate their meaning. When recitation gives rise to peacefulness, stillness arises in the mind. When we contemplate, we see that there is nothing substantial there. There is merely rupa, merely the body. This is vipassana. We see Dhamma objects. There are merely feelings, vedana, merely mind, citta. At one moment there is greed, anger, and delusion. At another moment there is no greed, no anger, and no delusion. In the end, there is nothing solid or lasting there. There is merely the mind, the citta. thoughts and all kinds of knowing, some wholesome and some unwholesome, are all Dhamma objects. Everything is a Dhamma object. This is wisdom at its most subtle and highest level. But sometimes practitioners look down on contemplation of the body, thinking that it is a coarse form of wisdom. They think, we are people with wisdom, knowledge, and education, so we should contemplate only the mind. The enlightened teachers say, you must also contemplate the body. This very body is the source of what we like, what we delight in, and cling to as a self. Yet mindfulness and wisdom do not see it clearly. Therefore, the teachers have to stir our minds and encourage us to contemplate this point. Sometimes we become absorbed in firm samadhi and do not want to come out to contemplate. Then the teachers say, come and contemplate the body. Do not lie there dead in samadhi. But in the beginning, there is no need to fear samadhi. There is no need to worry that, if we practice samadhi and attain jhana, that we will become lost in it. These days, it is not easy to attain deep jhana and become attached to it in the way that some hermits in the past entered high levels of samadhi. There is no need for fear or worry. Simply develop samadhi and contemplate alongside it. Then wisdom will arise. May you grow in the Dhamma. May you have patience with all sense objects. May you develop perseverance and effort. In the end, you will reach the goal. You will gain direct seeing and knowing of the Dhamma. May you grow in blessings.